You are about to opt in to Monerotopia, a show for the Monero community where all are welcome to join. From noob to maxi, no matter what bags you hold. Just sit back and relax to the sweet sounds of Monero's latest progress. Or if you're feeling inspired, join us on stage. Remember, the only thing that can stop Monero is a false belief that it can be stopped. And if you want to win the revolution faster, we recommend you remove your XMR from all custodial exchanges immediately. Warning, voting accidents are common around here. Don't forget to properly secure your private keys. Monerotopia starts now.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Cheers.
Cheerios.
Sorry, you guys are not in our
crazy studio. So we're a little flustered, but we made it work.
Flustered as usual.
The fluster is usual. The Wi-Fi is wonderful.
Yeah, I hope this works out, but we didn't want to miss.
We're promoting the conference because the conference is in three weeks, in a month, right?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. In exactly a month. Well, today's the 8th. It's on the 5th. So it was a month on the 5th.
Any new updates from the stuff?
I think we added a few more people. It just keeps growing and growing. I guess let's take a look and see. We have we share the screen.
We added Peter Todd. He's demanding that he gets paid in half in Bitcoin, which has been a fun experience.
It's been an interesting experience. Well, we haven't had time also, but it's also like
using Lightning. Obviously we want to pay him with it for us Bitcoin, but he's agreed to receive half in Monero, which is nice.
So we're in the process of trying to do that
half in BTCLN, and he sent us an invoice two days ago.
We just haven't had an opportunity.
We told him, and then he just messaged us. He's like, wait, the invoice expired.
Yeah,
I guess. So I didn't know that. That's how like you're expire like that.
I had no idea.
Just use it. Come on, Peter. What are you doing? He knows it's a pain in the ass.
Maybe you'll change him at the conference. No, there's no change.
Ironically, Peter Todd is the one who first, like,
oh, that's interesting.
I don't know, the first launch.
That's interesting.
I was a BTC Maxi then. I didn't run and buy Monero, unfortunately, at whatever it was, less than a dollar. But it certainly piqued my interest. It started my Monero rabbit hole. Peter's a smart guy. He's always on top of it. Maybe a little bit too much of a skeptic sometimes, but I love the guy. So I'm glad he'll be coming down. Hopefully we'll be able to send him his Bitcoin. Hopefully we'll figure it out. If anybody wants to send him Bitcoin on their behalf, using Lightning, and then we'll pay you back in Monero, so we don't have to deal with.
Oh my God,
that'd be funny. Bitcoin. Please reach out. Let us know. We'd like to do that. Who else we got?
We got.
We had Pooey just reach out from Edge Wallet. He wants to be involved now. We have endless list guests. It's gonna be a big conference.
Yeah, we're very excited.
We spoke to the Monero Marketplace.
Yes.
Apologize for the background noise.
AC just goes off here and there.
The marketplace that we're going to have, the bazaar that we're going to have at the conference, that's actually coming along nicely. We were a little worried about that. It's worked out. Yeah, so anyway, the bazaar, she runs the bazaar, I don't know, she
does
like once a month or something, all the participants to Monero. So we're actually going to do a class with them, like a Zoom class in the next week or so, a couple of weeks, to have everybody teach them about Monero virtually before we get down there, all the vendors that are participating. So by the time we're ready for the conference, everybody will be onboarded to Monero, which would be cool. A little virtual Zoom class. So we're very excited about that. I guess that's it, guys.
Well,
grab your tickets and spread the word. We added a virtual conference ticket, so not everybody can make it to Mexico. So for those that can't, grab the virtual ticket. If you don't want to pay for the virtual ticket, you can wait a few weeks and we'll eventually post all the content. Monero Talk, Monerotopia, after all, any content we produce, we always, give out to the community for free. But if you want to, participate in the conference, participate in Q&A, join us live, you could get the virtual ticket. And there might be some other little perks since we tried to include in that.
Get your tickets today.
And it was successful last year when we did it.
Right? Yeah. And also in regards to the workshops.
Workshop professors, what?
Yeah, no, basically if you want to be part of the events workshop, please email chill, so that we can reserve a spot because there are limited spots. So I had sent out an email to everyone that purchased tickets. Probably send one again next week. So if you want to reserve a spot in the advanced workshop section, please email us. Please email chill at cbriemer@tutanota.com to reserve your spot. And I guess, yeah, people are saying you sound great, loud and clear.
That's so weird.
Okay.
All right, I guess we'll see when other people talk. Maybe I won't, because I wasn't able to hear the intro either. So.
Okay, so we'll switch headphones. Okay. It's fine. Okay, sorry, so other than that, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, that's it. Move on? Just spread the word on the conference, guy. I mean, like we said last time, I mean, the party is ready to rock and roll. At this point, the only thing that will make it better is more people attending. But it's we got a decent crowd. And then plus with having the marketplace and it being open to people that want to locally attend and visit the marketplace. Oh, we're going to have like live music now.
We have live music now. Yeah, it just keeps blowing
obviously
up.
Obviously, we have our DJs. We have our Monero DJs on there. We have three different DJs. But we're also going to, I think, have now some live music because the woman running the marketplace is going to have some entertainers that come down. So it's going to be...
Yeah.
All these are participating. Pirate Chain. There was some Pirate Chain drama with the guy running our Twitter account. He's been doing a great job sending out info about each week about the speakers and the different projects that are participating. I guess we haven't been doing the best job of vetting what he sends out just because we're a little too busy. So he sent out a Pirate Chain one, but it came across as like a full endorsement by us of Pirate Chain and the technology and that it's essentially better than Monero. Like I thought this guy kind of knew us a little bit more and Monero and stuff, but I don't think he follows crypto as well as we think, right? But he's very helpful social media, but he's just kind of
people make mistakes.
Yes,
he was going.
You can't even, let's hope he has gone all in on Pirate. So that is absolutely not the case.
Maybe it was an April Fool's joke.
We don't hold any.
Was
Pirate
it posted
Chain.
On April 1st? Yeah, April Fool's, guys.
You know, be careful out there, guys. It was like if you look at the price of that, anybody who bought it, you know, at the top and now still holding it, got completely wrecked. We talk about this all the time, right? It's not just about the tech and all this. It's about the network effect, which projects actually being used, which projects actively developed on, all those things. And if you're not aware of those concepts yet, then you haven't been paying attention, or you're just in denial because of the bags you hold. So, and we don't want to misdirect people. That being said,
it was an April Fool's joke.
we like a lot of the people in the Pirate Chain community that we met along the way. Very fun people. By and far, I would think all of them also are Monero people, and we want them at the conference.
We want to be fair to every participating project.
Yeah, and if everybody, you go learn about them at the conference, they're going to have a table. So you go ask questions there and whatnot. But yeah, that it came across as this like full endorsement of the project, and we apologize for the miscommunication. Raphael is supposed to come.
Yeah, Raphael is supposed to be coming.
He's a big Pirate Chain guy. He's gonna give his two cents.
That I know a lot of the people that are watching expecting him. I mean, we're crossing our fingers.
He might still pop by. We haven't heard from him this morning.
He's a very busy person, so it's like it's hard to catch up with him.
He was our scheduled guest. He's our scheduled guest. So lost track.
Yeah, don't figure it out. But other than that, I guess anything else regarding the conference? Just buy your tickets ASAP. Definitely.
Yeah. No.
Buy your virtual tickets.
Spread the word, you guys. Spread the word.
Yeah. All righty. I guess let's move on.
Moving on
to the price segment.
Do it.
The Monerotopia price report segment is sponsored by Local Monero. Avoid using KYC exchanges. Buy and sell Monero directly for fiat, peer to peer.
Hi, buddy. How's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey. Happy early morning.
Early morning.
We're here in Puerto Rico.
I know, sorry. Thank you. Appreciate waking up early.
It's cloudy and rainy, though.
I know.
Oh, no.
We've gotten some sun, though.
Yeah, we've been trying to wake up early. But yeah, there's it's been raining yesterday, all since we got here, basically. Yeah. So it's all good. We're in Puerto Rico.
Can't complain.
Swimming every day.
We wanted to go to the beach. So I guess we'll probably visit some family, if anything, if it's still pouring all day long.
I'm just swimming in the ocean every day is my plan, my daily plan.
Man,
but yeah, all good, man. Nice. How you doing?
I've been good. Just waiting for this market to break out, yawning every day, just bored, waiting for some action to happen, but everything is just flat, sideways.
Well, Well, you told us to keep an eye on gold last week, right? And I think that's kind of been the story of the week. So you were on top of that.
Yeah, that probably is the main one. Yeah, I really meant to get to it last week. And then at the last second, I was like, oh, crap, I forgot about it. But I kind of felt like we were maybe in a little bit of a hurry anyway, so I didn't want to hold things up.
No, it was good. It was good. As you dropped a little hint, and then, you know, people got a taste of it. I saw gold.
Did you end up buying any? I remember you said that you were thinking about getting some or some more.
Oh, the gold backs.
Oh no, I bought gold backs, but you know, only in person when we saw the gold back guy. It was like, you know,
okay.
Yeah, it wasn't
just like, for fun, not really so much.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't like a large. Yeah,
I mean,
what would you recommend for those that are interested in, you know, diversifying into gold? What do you recommend the way of going about doing it? Actually holding real gold, but what do you recommend?
So I think that it's important to hold a little bit of physical gold, but I do tend to think that libertarians, anarchists tend to over exaggerate how much you should hold. My thinking is that you want to hold about 5 to 10% in self-custody gold at the places that you live. So the places that you have roots. So for example, I have roots in Texas. I have some gold over with my family there. I hold some gold here in Mexico. Not too much, but you know, like 5 to 10% of your net worth. Because really what it is, it's insurance against monetary upheaval. The problem is that you're going to pay 2 to 5% on the spot price for both the buy and the sell. So if you buy physical gold, it goes up and then you sell it, you've already lost 5 to 10%, you know, after you consider both sides of that trade. So really you want to accumulate it. You want to hold it for years. You don't really want to trade it. And then if you think that gold is going to catch a bid or that gold's a safe place to be and you want to get yourself more exposed, I think that having a gold bullion vault is a great way to not only get that exposure, but also to sort of diversify your geopolitical risk. So for example, let's suppose you hold a bunch of gold at home, someone gets wind of that, you know, you get wrench attacked or whatever, or maybe the government decides to seize gold again. If you have an international bullion account, that might save your ass, right? You might have a bunch of gold in that account and you might still have access to that even after you get attacked in some kind of way physically at home. So, you know, I mean, I know it's not self-custody and I know a lot of people might disagree with me there, but personally, that's what I think is a good way to hold gold. And then finally, like if you really think gold is about to catch a bid, kind of like last week, I was saying, hey, this thing might be about to break out. If you have a stock portfolio or, you know, if you have a Fidelity account or something like that, you could just buy GLD on the stock market and try and catch gold that way. And you're basically going to pay no spread there. Now, of course, there's going to be some fakery like there was in when the whole crash happened in March 2020. And like, for example, silver dropped to like $12, but you couldn't pick up physical silver for $12 anywhere. It was like $20, $25. So, you know, that's kind of the risk there of holding the paper asset on the regular financial markets. But those are all different ways to get exposure to gold that I think can be useful in different contexts.
So hold like 5-10% actual self-custody. But if you're looking to trade, buy the actual gold securities, right?
Yeah. The other thing that's really convenient too is one thing I did at the top of the market in 2021 is you can buy physical gold in a bullion vault for crypto. They don't take Monero. I asked them, I was like, hey, will you guys take Monero? And they said it didn't have enough liquidity. So I sold them, I don't know, Bitcoin or something. But yeah, there's a couple bullion vaults out there and they're audited, they're reputable. They're, you know, and you can buy and sell metals for crypto. So like whenever I think that the market is, you know, we're on the cusp of a new bull market, I'll probably sell that gold and just go straight back to crypto. You know, mm-hmm. probably still won't have Monero by that point, but you know, I'll get Bitcoin, then I'll use BISC or something like that.
What do you use for that? What gold vaults are accepting crypto that you know of?
The one that I know of is Bullion Vault, Bullion Star, Bullion Star.com. They're a Singapore vault and, yeah, they're pretty top quality. They've always been responsive. You know, they get audited.
Is there like a KYC, pictures KYC of your process gold. With it?
They did. Yeah, I had to send them my passport. To sign up and originally buy, there wasn't. But I don't know. Maybe I can't remember. I lost my password or something. They wanted my passport. So they know who I am.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
But you think potentially there's to sign up and buy, you don't need KYC?
I didn't at first. It was just like sign up. And I bet you now, though, like that was years ago. That was like back in 2016.
Right. Right.
So maybe, okay. maybe now it's more, they've really expanded the regulations in that regard.
Very cool. Awesome, man. Yeah, no, I just bought like a few hundred dollars worth of gold backs like a couple of weeks, which I guess was good timing. It was like before the pump. But yeah, it wasn't much.
Cool.
People
actually spend that stuff in New Hampshire, don't they?
Yeah, they do. In New Hampshire and Utah.
Utah.
Gold backs are catching on. I think it has a market cap of like 40 mil right now. There's like 40 mil worth of gold backs that are out there circulating. You know, it's growing. Like, they really can't even keep up with demand. I was talking to the guy. It's because, you know, it's quite the process with creating the gold backs. But there seems to be high demand and they're growing fast.
Just intuitively, it seems like something that could catch on really quickly, especially like with the social environment that's out there. There's so many people, like regular people, Fox News is talking about how the dollar might get dethroned and everyone's worried about it. So if you got all these people, these Republicans talking about that, I mean, you could probably go to almost any farmer's market and start introducing goldbacks. And I bet you a lot of those guys would be interested.
Yeah. I mean, what's really cool about it is it gets everything you were talking about, right? So you get that, you get gold as an investment, right? But then you actually can use it as a currency, right? You're not trying to, whittle away a flick of gold off your little nugget there. You could actually spend it in kind of dollar form. It's very cool. It adds it turns gold into a spendable currency in addition to being a store of value, which is just really cool.
That would be crazy if after all this time, like hundreds of years, like the last 100 years of the Federal Reserve, the answer to making gold a currency again was to put it in bill form and to make it a nice, beautiful, bill out of it.
Right. Simple as that.
With plastics.
Simple as that. Yeah. I mean, we'll see what kind of regulations they end up facing. I mean, I don't know. They've been managed to navigate it pretty well. I don't know if it ends up becoming an issue.
I hadn't thought of that. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's.
Is that, yeah, there's the whole background with the other guys that tried to do something similar, but I don't know. Maybe they're avoiding all the problems.
Yeah.
Maybe crypto has the regulators distracted enough that they just like gold backs can fly under the radar for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe until it gets big enough.
Yeah.
And then if it does, it can't get rug pulled. You always have your gold in your gold backs. You know what I'm saying? So like, even if it got shut down, it's not like your gold backs become worthless. Theoretically, they still have value.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool, man.
Let's take a look at Monero and see. I tweeted the other day. I said, hey, it's time. This chart looks to me like it's ready to break. It wants to break. Whenever, if and when crypto and everything else breaks out, this chart will break with it. The thing that I've kind of got this dichotomy going on right now that's developed. So my problem is that the charts all still look good. Everything I'm looking at looks fine. Everything looks like it's kind of pumping a little bit, and maybe like one by one, like we saw ETH kind of pump a little bit, but Bitcoin didn't. And we saw a couple shit coins here and there pump. So like things look like they want to go. But one thing that's bothering me about the market in general right now is that the stock market broke its resistance levels. Like it very clearly broke some very significant resistance. And so for example, let's take a look at the NASDAQ. This was on Friday last week. We talked about this, right? Where we basically broke out of this line, this sort of capping line right here. And, I wanted to see better follow through this week, but at the same time, it's not as big a deal as you might think, because, we're coming up on this channel right here. I was kind of thinking we'd probably poke above that before coming back down. But at any rate, the week ended just slightly down for the NASDAQ, and I think just slightly positive for the S&P. But I guess technically the S&P hasn't exactly broken out from its this sort of like capping line right there. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong one. No, I guess that's right. Oh, I'm on the weekly. That's why. Here we go. Let's go to the 4-hour. Okay. Yeah, that's better. So but the NASDAQ did break out, and then the SSE composite, which is the Shanghai, it's like China stocks, basically. They're doing pretty well. Also, they kind of broke out of their sort of horizontal resistance, and the Dixie was down, like the dollar index dropped. So there was every reason for Bitcoin, cryptocurrency in general to break out. And it didn't. So that kind of bothered me. I said, so for example, here's the dollar index. This is the daily. Let's go to the 4-hour. Yeah. So overall, like the dollar index was down. There's Friday. So the week dollar index last week on Friday ended up here. And then pretty much the entire week, the dollar index was down, but crypto failed to break out. So that kind of bothers me because it looked to me like we had every reason for crypto to break these resistances and to go up, but it didn't. So, but that doesn't necessarily mean like the charts all still look, they look good to me. Like that doesn't mean that we can't go up, that we can't break it next week or next month even. Right now, what we're seeing is significant drop off in the volatility, which means that a very big move is setting up. So that could be a big move to the upside. That could be a big move to the downside. Everything I look at in these charts basically says that this should be a big move to the upside. But, you know, after all this time here, it's been 3 months, almost 4 months now, and we're sort of just like grinding higher. There's this sort of capping grind line. And, you know, you really expect that we in a truly bullish scenario, when things really are bullish, you break rising resistance to the upside. And there was really every reason right here where we could have broken. There was every reason here where we could have also broken that, and we didn't. So that's kind of like both the contrarian, hey, we might go down case, and the hey, we might go up case. I do tend to think that this is probably just consolidation, volatility's dropping off. Some of these other charts that I look at, they're like statistical maps, if you will. Y'all have kind of got a couple views at them occasionally on accident. I'll tell you all about that some other time. But anyways, so Monero's sitting here at, you know, basically its final boss bull market, bear market resistance here. And I really, I mean, this is exactly what a chart looks like that's supposed to break to the upside. So, you know, I mean, barring any like catastrophic events or anything crazy that should break to the upside, hypothetically, you could see that this chart, these lines don't really cross until May. So hypothetically, it could take until May for this thing to break. Like, I don't know, let's suppose some kind of news comes out that's not good for the crypto industry. You know, like they hit Binance with an injunction, you know. I mean, I don't know, if they hit Binance with an injunction, Monero should just go straight up back to 500. But, you know, like, let's suppose some bad news comes out, right? Things might drop back down here. But I mean, this chart, to me, it should break to the upside. It has every reason to break to the upside. I don't think it's going to break down. That's like the probabilities would put it very high to go to the upside there. We can look at the XMR BTC ratio. And on the lower time frame, like just in the past, since the end of March, we've kind of had this sideways triangle where the volatility has been dropping off. Common theme here. We did break this as of last night. We convincingly broke that. Let's take a look at the daily. Yeah, we still need to confirm this thing, but as of today, we've broken sort of this small structure right here. So that's, I always kind of look at the XMR BTC ratio as kind of like a counterwind or a counter, an inverse chart to what the rest of crypto is going to do. So when the ratio on Bitcoin is going, when the ratio on XMR BTC is going down, it seems like the crypto markets tend to go up and then vice versa, right? This is the bear market where XMR BTC performed really well. So the fact that this broke to the upside might be kind of a point in favor of a little bit more downside in crypto. It is very possible that, in fact, I expect that when this volatility decides it wants to break to one side or the other, one thing that almost always happens is shit just like it'll break down, it'll spike down, and everyone thinks it's going to crash, and it'll jump right back up and then go to the opposite side. They do that to clear out the leverage longs, right? Like if you're a market maker and you don't want to share your profits with anyone else that's leveraged long, and you know that everyone's stops are probably somewhere in this area, you might just like shove the market all the way down here and then just stop in reverse on a dime for no reason and then go straight back up. So I do expect that it's very likely that whichever direction the market is going to break, it's probably going to fake out to the wrong side first. That's just usually how that stuff happens. Let's take a look at the relative cryptocurrency coin performance. Dog had its little pump because Elon, I'm sure y'all have seen this already, but let's just take a look at it. Let's add a tab here and go to Twitter. So Elon Musk, did he put the tweet logo back to the birdie? He changed that to the Dogecoin logo. I don't know. Let me check.
Yeah, I saw that.
No, he changed it back. That whole thing just looks so scammy to me. Like, so, okay, let's go to the Doge chart here. This is ridiculous.
Doge USD. Elon, saving the world with Doge.
My God. Like, it was so scammy. Okay, so what happened was this green candle right here. Actually, let's go down to the 15-minute candles. Okay, this pump started well before the news got out. And I think it's, and I haven't confirmed this, but I think the pump started before he actually changed the logo. Like these first two candles in the first 30 minutes, maybe I'm wrong about that. I could be wrong about that, but like I couldn't find any tweets talking about this. I couldn't find anything covering this until 30 minutes after the pump started. So it almost looked to me like they took the elevator up and then it took the stairs down, and it basically gave back all of the gains that it originally made. So it's like, when that happens, like the XRP chart looks like, you'll have a week where it just pumps by insane amounts, and then it takes the stairs down slowly, slowly, slowly. And everyone thinks like at every, you know, every new place, like, oh, hey, it just dropped. We're about to do this, you know, and people try and get in the market at every new step down thinking that they've found the bottom. And it's just, I don't like, maybe Elon had nothing to do with that. Twitter's a big company. Maybe there was some inside information. Somebody else knew about it. But it just seemed kind of scammy to me. And that was another reason why I thought, well, hey, there's every reason why the crypto markets should pump with the whole Dogecoin thing. You know, that's right. Like big news. Everyone's going to say, well, Elon's going to accept Dogecoin for blue check marks now. And there was just no follow through. At no point did it follow through. It just went down. That was special. So I'm still like, we could still go up. Maybe the markets just need more time to consolidate. I have a new theory on why we saw Binance and these huge positive price divergences. I wonder, since they sued CZ, and it seems like there's kind of a new mentality, a new administration. I used to say CZ's an insider. You know, he's friends with Bloomberg. And maybe that's all true, but it does seem like perhaps with the Biden administration, there might be like a true hatred of crypto. I'm kind of getting this feeling that there might be like this dichotomy between sort of two sides where, I mean, it would make sense, left versus right, but you kind of got like the banker bros, the insiders, they like Ethereum, they've got their stable coins, BlackRock, et cetera. You know, they like to like pump and dump markets. They like 2008 kind of stuff. They can get leverage and then the market's going to crash, but they know, so they get out. Like there's that side. And then there's kind of like the leftist side that just hates crypto. Like it's not even about like, there's no innovation there. They just hate the idea that anything could potentially compete with the government's dominance of money. And so I think that's kind of like, that seems to be the case with Chokepoint 2.0. That's like they're revealing their mentality. So it could be that CZ is legitimately worried that he might be totally screwed. He might be saying to himself, okay, like I'm getting sued here. What if they issue an injunction against Binance? I better get some funds off. And what am I going to do? I'm going to go into Monero, right? Because it's fungible. He could probably dump that in many places without it being linked to him. If anyone knows and has seen the problems of the non-fungibility of, you know, of the crimes that they do, it would be CZ. So maybe this is him acquiring a backup plan in case he actually gets totally fucked. Now,
I like that rumor.
Everyone on Twitter seemed to like that rumor as well. I posted it and everyone was pretty stoked about that. So yeah, it's for the record, that's completely like a wacky tinfoil conspiracy theory idea of mine. I have absolutely no evidence for it other than this chart. But it was kind of weird to see that and not to see any price response. And then I don't know. So maybe it is CZ acquiring his backup. Maybe he becomes a friend of Monero eventually. He'll probably dump that Monero anyways, though, later on once he, you know, try and find some other grift.
At some point, these conspiracy theories are going to come true, right? Like, yeah, maybe this isn't the case, but Monero's sitting here, it's waiting, right? And all roads lead to it, man. People are waking up. So you have to imagine that these really smart guys that are in crypto are at least hedging a little bit into it, right? Because they've been studying this as well, if not better than most. They see how this is all going to play out. So yeah, this one might be a little far-fetched, but eventually it's things like this will come to fruition, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think that some of them, like maybe not all of them, like, okay, maybe the Barry Silberts of the world and maybe some of the deep insiders think to themselves, well, I don't need Monero. I'm part of the system, right? I'm approved. But maybe all the events that are happening here for the past year are making people think twice. Maybe some of the crypto leaders will get their heads screwed on better and say, you know what? Maybe it is a good idea to at least hedge, like you said, acquire some position there. And for those that aren't aware, the CFTC sued Binance for, I don't know, some kind of like commodities fraud stuff. There's like something like 800 complaints with the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, where people are saying, hey, Binance froze my funds. They won't let them go. You know, I have a personal friend that had a decent chunk of money frozen up by Binance, and Binance wouldn't do anything. They just dragged their feet for, I don't know, it was like 2 months. And finally, maybe it's 3 months, he got a lawyer And the lawyer sent them a demand letter. And what do you know? Within like 7 days, those funds were released. So, but Binance does this all the time. Like, this is what they do. So, yeah, he's being sued by the CFTC. And there's the thing is that that's important for us right here in the immediate term. There's talks about an injunction. So an injunction from the judge would basically restrict Binance from doing certain activities. They could potentially even restrict them from operating at all. So that kind of thing would be very negative for price for crypto in the immediate term if it does happen. I'm not saying that it will, and that's not necessarily the most likely thing, but it could. It definitely could happen because I think the CFTC, I can't remember if I read this or if I didn't, but I think they are going to file an injunction to try and prevent Binance from operating or from doing certain. So other than that, if the judge denies an injunction and Binance can continue operating, then we'll probably, you know, this kind of lawsuit will take a year, 2 years to really, you know, to really like progress through the court system. So yeah, there's that. And I think the FTX lawsuit starts pretty soon as well. Let's see here. I think that's about all I have for you guys. Oh, we should look at gold. We almost forgot about gold again. Okay, here's gold spot. Gold is like, it's just such a long-term chart. We have to start from the very zoomed out view. So this is the monthly. It's a little bit messy. The chart looks a little messy from here, but you can see it's basically a rising triangle. Like, you almost might want to call this a wedge because this line here is upsloping just a little bit. But yeah, I mean, rising triangle, rising wedge, whatever. This is at the moment a very bullish structure. So let's go down to the daily now. So now you can see hopefully some of these lines make a bit more sense. This line right here was kind of like our bear market line last year. That broke with as price started coming up. Let's go to the 4 hour really. Okay, so we've kind of got like, I know this is really messy. I'm sorry, guys. I know that can be hard on the eyes sometimes. But basically, we're kind of inside of this this big channel right here. This is a rising wedge channel. And as we've talked about, rising wedges tend to be bearish. But when the situation is bullish, they will tend to break to the upside. So if you form a rising wedge in a bull market, that's typically going to break to the upside. You'll break rising resistance. And that's very much what looks like gold is trying to do here, right? It wicked up. Then it kind of had some consolidation here, and then it basically broke that again last week. It's retesting sort of this this what was resistance. It's kind of retesting that as support now. But I mean, this chart just overall, like, this is a long-term bullish chart. This is bullish. It could be bullish next week. We could break out for no reason. Maybe it takes another month, right? It could be that this thing consolidates down here. But anywhere from the short time frame to the mid to the long time frame, gold is, I think, your best risk to reward play right here to make sure that you get gains. Because we do have concerns about the broader financial system. We do have concerns. How long can this pump really go? Let's take a look. Sorry to divert, but let's take a look at the Federal Reserve balance sheet. Those are repurchase agreements. Okay, this is the Federal Reserve balance sheet. Very long time frame. Let's zoom in. So if you remember when the whole banking crisis happened just a couple weeks ago, balance sheet pumped, was crazy high. Everyone said, oh my God, you know, their bailouts and they restarted QE and yada, yada. And then I told you guys that these are 90-day loans or less. Almost all of this pump right here is going to get paid back. So that's that went from $8.3 trillion to $8.7 trillion. So that looks like about $600 billion expansion on the Federal Reserve balance sheet. And but that's already falling, right? As of the past 2 weeks, that's already coming down. So this should be expected to continue falling. I don't know if we're going to make it all the way back down here because some of the loans, some of that balance sheet expansion was, I think it's like $12 billion was done with a year-long maturity on the loan. So this probably won't come back down all the way, but it should come back down most of the way. Now, a Federal Reserve balance sheet going down is kind of a bearish scenario, which is one of the reasons that I brought this out. I'm not entirely sure how to interpret this because this bump was made on the fear of, you know, banking collapse. So this thing went up because people were afraid and the markets went down. Normally when the balance sheet goes up, the you know, the markets go up with it. But in this case, that didn't really happen. The markets dropped and then they rebounded kind of back to their levels. So I'm not exactly sure, you know, if this is bearish or bullish or just neutral. It's probably closer to neutral than anything. But anyways, the balance sheet should continue to go down or to return back to where it was, I should say. And then gold is just ready to, it could break out at any moment. It doesn't have to be immediately. It doesn't have to be this week, but I really do think that that it's a good idea to get long here because I mean, you can see we're basically in this sort of, was that? Yeah. Buy more gold backs. You know, and the cool thing too is if you accept gold backs for a service, then like you don't have to pay a spread on that at all.
Best way to get it. Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, we're close. Like gold is now finally in this. It's like this kind of final zone, almost like Monero had that sort of final zone or is currently in its final zone here, right? This sort of channel right there. So gold is entering that same spot. And I mean, you really expect this chart to end up doing something like that. Maybe it could come back down. But I mean, to me at this point, it's like, okay, I'm holding it for the long term. Yes, I trade, but that's with the minority of my stack in terms of being positioned overall, which is really where I've made the most money ever, is just positioning for the long term. Gold is a very good place to be positioned for the long term, or the medium term as well. So, yeah, that's the price report today. I think we basically got to everything that was important. You guys have any questions?
You think? Where do you think this gold pump is coming from? Obviously, it's just becoming seen as a safe haven, right? Oh, it's always been a safe haven, but now more than ever, right? With the direction of where the global financials is headed, people waking up to the fact that the world is run on fiat. But do you think there's potentially some energy coming from this rumor of Russia, China looking to create a gold backseat?
That's possible. They've been talking about that for a long time. And it might be worth addressing that. So I got into the libertarian movement back in 2007. And I've heard since forever about how the BRICS are creating a new gold-backed currency, how the dollar's about to collapse. They're changing their bilateral trade into, out from dollars. They're going to reject it as the world's reserve currency. I've heard this forever, but the data doesn't seem to suggest that. Now, there is a caveat there. China and Russia are already doing something like half of their trade or three quarters of their trade in the Chinese yuan, or their own like sort of mutual currency swaps, something like that. But that's actually a very different thing than using gold as a reserve asset for your central bank. So right now there's about, I believe it's $7 trillion. Maybe it's more than that. I think it's $7 trillion used internationally in international central banks where dollars are held as a reserve asset. So it is true that we're going to see more bilateral trade happening among the BRICS nations where they're not going to use the dollar for that trade. But so far, I don't see any data which suggests that the dollar is being removed as a reserve currency asset. Now, in terms of like the gold price and what's driving it, I do think that the geopolitical uncertainty is definitely a driver there. Gold to me is somewhat correlated to bull markets. So this chart right here, we talked about maybe a month or two ago. Actually, it was longer than that. It was maybe 3 months ago, where we were looking at the NASDAQ in blue and the gold in gold in orange. And we were saying that gold tends to recover for the last 20 years. Gold tends to recover before the NASDAQ does. So yes, sometimes it will drop. So for example, like here's 2008, gold dropped with the rest of the market, but it didn't drop as badly. And then it recovered faster. Right. The NASDAQ kept dropping in 2008. The stock market kept dropping, but gold was already recovered. Gold had already gotten back to its previous high. So gold has been kind of a leading signal in a lot of ways for a bull market and risk assets. And so that's kind of what we talked about here. That was another little indication to me that we were probably looking at positive movement for crypto and stocks, was that gold was already recovering by the time that that January, February had come around. So I think there's multiple things. I think, they do try to suppress gold. So sometimes it's like that pressure, that suppression eventually, like sometimes they have to let that go. Like they can't just keep it suppressed forever, because real buying and selling, demand for the real physical asset, is a factor there. And while they can screw around with the paper markets and whatnot, it's such a massive marketplace. There's just so much money tied up in that, that when real people are buying, they can't suppress it forever. But if they can control the times that gets released, that's a good thing. So one thing that they love to do is that pressure will have to get released and gold will start pumping. And I think that one of the mechanisms here is that once that happens and gold is pumping and they can't stop it, they say, okay, well, crap, let's recover the markets. Because, basically from the point that the markets bottom here, the better investment is to be in the markets. And that's kind of the trick that they want to play. They want you to... they want you to be like, well, I'm going to get more return in the stock market, so let me sell my gold and buy the stock market. And they like, there's just these cycles that have gone over like the past 2-3 decades where they seem to do this. And I think that's the mechanism. I think that's what's happening. So I think a lot of the financial insiders have recognized this pattern now. A lot of like big money, smart money knows this. So they're acquiring gold. They know it's a safer asset. It's a safer place to be. But you've also got the geopolitical uncertainty. So people are also, I've got family that, they used to be kind of kind of normie, and they're buying gold. They're not really so much into crypto, but they do like gold. So I think it's multiple causes, but that would be my assessment on why that happens.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like the BTC maxis, maybe not all of them, but I think a large part of them see Bitcoin as a gold killer, right? Not only as it being digital gold, but that's like making gold itself, useless. Right, it's replacing gold. But I think ironically it may end up having the opposite effect, right? Because it's opening people's minds and to the importance of why gold is important in the first place. I think the average Joe Schmo never stopped to realize, right? They don't understand fiat, but crypto is really, ramming that message home better than the gold movement, I think, was ever able to do, especially now with the younger generation, right? Maybe with generations past, it was more successful. But, right, like gold bugs, when we're growing up, like, I don't know, like, I think most society wasn't, paying attention to the gold bugs, right? You just kind of see them as wackadoos.
That's a good point, man.
Yeah, crypto, right? I mean, you got teenagers trading Dogecoin, right? Yeah, they might be doing it because of what Elon, but they're learning the narratives. They're learning why crypto is supposed to be important. And so that's got to end up leading more people to gold, right? Some percentage of those people that makes a lot of sense. Fiat's a scam.
Yeah, so in some ways crypto might steal some market cap from gold, but in other ways it might bring more market cap from the youth. From the new generations learning about monetary theory.
Where do you see the three ultimately sitting, like in terms of how they work, gold, Monero, Bitcoin? Because I mean they are going after a lot of the same use case. What's kind of your overall the goal?
I think they serve slightly different, like they serve maybe slightly different use cases there. I mean, it's nice to have something physical in your hands that's been valued for thousands of years. Gold is a reserve asset. It seems to have like some physical use, like for the gold backs, for example. Like that is kind of cool that you can just carry around gold in your hand and just exchange it physically. There is something to be said for that. There's also the case to be made that sometimes natural disasters happen, and sometimes you're not going to have access to the internet, and you're not going to be able to send your cryptocurrency. I can't remember who it was, but I was reading the earthquake in Turkey. His family, his town is still without internet. I think he's here in the States or something, but his family and his town is without internet. So it's like cryptocurrency is going to save you during a natural disaster when the electricity is down, when the network is down. Like, so there is a case to be made that you should have something physical in your hands that can work like cash, that you don't need the internet. Now those are extreme cases, but I mean, we get natural disasters in the States as well. Like we get all kinds of problems sometimes. And then, of course, geopolitically, right, in the larger sense, like, let's suppose the dollar does collapse. Let's suppose that there is some crazy geopolitical upheaval and maybe we do lose internet connection for a period of time, or maybe they do flip the internet kill switch. Wouldn't it be nice to have at least something else other than just fiat U.S. dollars that we can trade, on a day-to-day basis if we have to, like, take care of ourselves for a period of months while they're rebooting the government or whatever. Now I don't want them to reboot the government. They could just keep it shut down. But anyways, that would be kind of, I think, the case for why gold is like supplementary. Gold is important as well as crypto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like this idea that, at its base layer, right, gold is even in, the computing parts, the hardware that we use to produce Bitcoin and Monero, right? It's like even more base layer, which is interesting.
I think most of it is silver, but yeah. Maybe they're using gold now. I mean, they're like, yeah, some of the higher sensitivity electronics. Yeah, they definitely need gold.
Yeah. What is your take?
Go ahead.
What is your take on a gold-backed CBDC? Do you think? I mean, that sounds like it would be something that could be extremely competitive in this competition for best money, right? Obviously, I think at the end of the day, a true crypto makes more sense, but this is going, if you have to CBDC, if you have to use a state-backed, currency to have a sound store of value, wouldn't you want to choose the gold-backed one, right? I feel like it could be quite competitive.
Sounds like great marketing to me. Don't worry, it's a good CBDC. It's gold-backed.
Right, but it is great marketing, right? Like, so, I mean, do you think that... You see that marketing potentially working? What's your opinion on a gold-backed CBDC? Do you think it's something that could compete with the U.S. dollar?
Oh, you mean like the BRICS nations?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe it could. I mean, if your currency is tied to a strong store of value, then the problem with doing that, like with having a true gold standard where you don't print anything extra than the gold you have, you lose a lot of power as a nation. One of the big powers that that China, the United States has is they can just print all this currency. And instead of having to tax the people to get that money, they just print the currency so people don't really notice as much. And then they can fund all of their state terrorism, you know, goals and agendas. So I would be suspicious that that might be more of a marketing ploy. And they might be like, we're partially gold backed, you know, where they're still printing a lot of money, but, you know, and they just kind of make it look like that.
Yeah. But I guess at some point it becomes worth it for those countries to lose that ability if they're gaining the advantage of taking out the U.S. Advantage of having that ability over the entire world. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's possible.
It's like each individual country gets that advantage, but they're also greatly disadvantaged by the fact that the U.S. can do that and they do it on a global scale. You know,
I tend to think that these guys are like frenemies. They compete with power. You know, they try to become more powerful themselves, but at the same time, they'll cooperate to keep their respective populations and their own power, you know, preserved. So like, for example, the lockdown crap was like that, all of the nations of the world, and they didn't even have, I don't think they have to get into a smoky back room and be like, hey, I know, you know, as they rub their hands like a little mosquito. Like, I don't think that they have to get into a smoky back room. They were just like, yeah, this seems like a good deal. Let's lock down our nation too. So it's like, I think they compete, but they also work together. So I wonder if the United States dollar reserve paradigm doesn't serve these guys pretty well. So kind of like how we talked about last week on the spaces where for China to serve the world's demand for a reserve asset, that means that they have to become a net exporter of their currency, which means they have to print a lot of it, which tends to, that would completely change their entire economic model, which is mercantilist, which is, they like to export things, right? They're a net exporter of a lot of stuff. And if they become, if they shift their monetary policy this way and they start printing all this money, that's going to be the same thing that happened in the United States when the United States dollar started getting adopted as the global reserve, where our manufacturing base got hollowed out and everything got cheaper to produce overseas. That same thing would happen to China. So it might not really serve their interest to do that, but it might serve their interest to talk about it, you know, to saber rattle about it. So that's kind of where I think what I think is really going on there.
Always good takes from Bonnie, man.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I learned years ago is that especially when it comes to markets, if you want to get the markets right, you constantly have to entertain the counterposition. Like, you might think that things are a certain way, but then you need to like stop and then actively go find the information that would contradict your thesis. Because if nothing else, it'll help you to refine your thesis. But often, the counterintuitive thing in the markets is what's really going on. And a lot of times people do get led. There's like social campaigns to lead people down the wrong path because there's a lot of money to be made in sort of having the retail plebs on the wrong side of the trade. So here's the last thing I'll say about maybe the dollar here is this chart right here is the foreign, this is what's held by foreign banks for their reserve currencies. And you can see that their reserves have gone down overall, but the United States dollar as a percentage has remained at 55%. It dropped to 54% here in Q4 2022. Now, we just finished Q1 2023, so it'll be interesting to see that data because I want to see real data. If the United States dollar is going to be losing some of its reserve status, this chart right here from the IMF should show the United States dollar losing relative percentage. So maybe that doesn't happen in Q1 2023 because of this, you know, it was like just happening. But I think that at least by the end of this year, we should see real evidence of that happening. And if we don't, that tells us it's more so a news story and hype narrative than it really is like actually happening. So yeah, that's always try and back your claims with data. Always try and find the counterintuitive or the counter position to your own.
Unrelated, but I got it. Did you read that soft war book or have you looked into that at all? That guy, Jason Lauer.
No.
What's that?
No, I haven't read it.
Okay. All right. Topic for another day. Obviously, it's a whole can of worms. All right. Just check it out. Yeah. Do some research on it. I may try to get that guy on the show. Probably wouldn't be well known.
Oh, that'd be crazy. Show.
Awesome.
He may, may not.
Thank you so much. We're going to jump to our special yes, which is what Mr. X.
Mr. X.
Yes, yeah, but if you could stick around a little bit, please do, because I think you and Mr. X chatting would be fun too. Stick
yeah, that sounds like it'd be a good time. I've read some of his stuff. He's he knows his stuff.
Oh, sweet.
Awesome.
All right, buddy.
Hey.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so
much. Yeah, we could go on for days. So. Yes. Thank you, Matt.
I had no idea. Yeah. Really.
And I don't mind so much, but Sunita's looking, despite the clouds, still wants to go.
I don't want to go to the beach. Thank you so much, Bonnie.
Cheers.
Okay.
Cheers.
Thanks,
guys. Around if you can.
Yeah. I will.
All right. And yeah, let's go. Okay. Let's go to the guest. We don't have any news today, right? We don't have Tony.
We don't have Tony.
But maybe I'll do some stories, but we'll do that after Mr. X. We were supposed to have Raphael, but we can't find him. Mr. X, who knows Raphael, was willing to jump
on for a few.
We love Mr. X too. We haven't had him in a long time.
All righty, let's move on to that.
Let's do it.
The Monerotopia guest segment is sponsored by CakeWallet. Store, send, receive, and exchange your Monero and Bitcoin safely on iOS and Android too. CakeWallet is open source, and you always control your own keys.
Mr. X, are you there right now?
Yeah, I'm here. I can hear you guys pretty well right now. So hopefully it stays.
All right, cool.
Thanks for jumping up quickly.
Yeah, on short notice. Yeah. Any word from Raphael? What happened to him?
I noticed that he had written a message maybe about 3 or 4 hours ago. And I'm guessing he was up late and went to bed. So he might have just maybe slept in or something. Maybe overslept, I'm guessing. Because I guess you guys are you guys East Coast, right?
So, yeah,
we're East Coast. The U.S. So maybe there's a time difference or something going on, but I know you guys mentioned talking about some news headlines, and you were talking with your last guest about, or Body Anarchist, about the some of these possible bills coming with the, for example, there's a Texas bill that would make a I guess it's not a CBDC, but it's a state-backed crypto that's backed by gold. There's a bill in Texas about that topic. So I don't know if you want to talk about that or just talk about developments, more nulls, or some other topics.
So much to talk about. Well, let's because we haven't had you on in a while. What is your current crypto price take, if you don't mind giving it? You know, you don't have to open up charts and all that, but follow things closely.
Yeah,
So see the market, and what's kind of your near-term prediction of where you see?
Yeah, so obviously old Monero with the Mordinal situation. Oh, can you guys hear me? Okay, I can see you guys.
It's breaking.
Okay,
it's
breaking. All right, so Mordinals, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you know what, Mr. X, I feel like we're not going to do this justice, and if we're going to have you on, we want to do it the right way. Maybe we regroup, you jump on next week's show?
I mean, that may be, we'll have to look under, but that might be possible.
Well, yeah, obviously not hold it to whatever. We'll find another.
Yeah,
right. But I don't think
we can do that. Yeah, that should be.
Yeah, because I'd rather have you on proper again. We love having you on, and you know, it's usually a very long, detailed convo, and you're always dropping really good info. So I don't want to do this in a way where we don't do it right. So, I think we'll call the show. You want to call the show here?
Yeah, just because of this internet. Yeah. It's because you were breaking up before too.
Yeah, we apologize.
You guys hear me now? Okay.
I can hear but it keeps
it's like very loud.
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you guys pretty well right now. I mean, it's up to you guys, whatever you guys want to do. I am available now though.
Yeah. All right, well, you keep going, but it keeps breaking. We'll give it another shot. And then if it's unbearable on our end, then we'll call it. So yeah, go ahead with what you're saying.
All right, so a few topics about, I guess you wanted to know about price. So I think we're early, obviously, that the halving in Bitcoin is coming up about a year from now. So as we head into that cycle, that 4-year cycle, there's going to be, obviously, I believe it's going to be bullish for all cryptos, especially especially privacy coins like Monero. Pirate Chain is another one that I like. Also Dero, D-E-R-O, smart contracts. So yeah, those are ones that I'm focusing on that I'm pretty excited about. Now the issues with Mordinals recently, I know that there's been a patch that to limit the size of TX Extra to 1,060 bytes, which is once that patch is merged, or I guess it has been merged, but once the binaries are released and people upgrade their wallets, that'll really help with the more nulls issue and the blockchain database size is growing a bit because of those, all those images getting put on the blockchain. So I think that'll help as far as also mitigating the privacy issues as well, because it does, if there's a high percentage of those more nulls on the, as a percentage of transactions in Monero's mempool, that kind of hurts the privacy. So I would like to see those kind of go away, because obviously Monero is meant to be fungible. So having fungible or non-fungible tokens on it serves to make transactions less homogeneous, so they don't look alike. You want transactions to look pretty much equal to one another. So that's another, I guess, topic we could discuss as well. Any particular topics that you discuss?
Yeah, I mean, well, we kind of beat the M-ordinals to death on this show. We've had some good shows on it. I don't really see that as being a mate. I feel like that issue is going to be solved, right? I think with the initial overnight reduction TX exercise that they've done, they've been kind of deterred, or at least sent a strong message that ordinals on Monero. Monero isn't the place for inscriptions for NFTs, right? Until the tech is there that it could handle NFTs without potentially deteriorating its fungibility or hurting its scalability, like you were saying. So I think Monero as a project is doing a good job in essentially rejecting that and pivoting its tech in a way where something like that can't be onerous or, to Monero's fungibility and scalability. So I think we're handling that well. I would like to get what is your take on the gold back CBDCs? This rumor. So you mentioned it before. You mentioned the Texas thing. Actually, that was the first I've heard of that. I didn't know about that one. But yeah, like China, Russia potentially getting together, create a gold back. So just curious if you're following that and what your take is on that impact of that in the ecosystem.
Yeah, I think that is kind of, I mean, you were talking with Body Anarchist a little bit about this. I heard a little bit of it. I mean, I think that's definitely going to be something that's kind of like they're going to be dangling that carrot to try to get people to go after that, to try to get them away from crypto, I think, or free market solutions rather. So yeah, anything centralized is going to be tracked and traced. Absolutely. You're not going to have any privacy with that. So yeah, I would caution people not take that bait and just kind of stick with free market solutions instead. Like now, of course, I mean, personally, I like privacy. That's kind of my main focus. So Monero, I guess since 2015, I got in Monero, and that was kind of, I guess, late 2014, early 2015. I've been focused on Monero. And then when Pirate Chain came out, I kind of realized that is even more private, but it's still very young and early and more testing and development and adoption first. But Monero, I think, is the privacy leader in that market. So I think privacy coins like Monero.
Yeah, I steer people away from Pirate. It seems to be kind of more of a pump and dump than anything else. So I don't like, steering people down that road. They will be participating in Monerotopia. I'm surprised Darrow too. I would think they'd want to attend. If you want to put the word out to them, like we're trying to make it as open so people can at least learn about these projects. Mm-hmm. I was surprised Darrow, right? Darrow ever hit us up? Yeah. I mean, you got to see that, right? Like what are the price of Pirate Chain? Like anybody who bought Pirate Chain at the top, where are they now sitting in terms of percent of their value?
So we announced Pirate Chain when it was 5 cents, and then it went from 5 cents. Raphael and I had written a pretty long report on Pirate Chain, where we kind of got into some of the nuances and privacy differences and pros and cons of Monero and Pirate Chain and where they're and how they're different. And then also comparing to other cryptos that are less honest, I think. Pirate Chain was, it started like I said, we announced it at 5 cents. It went up to about $16.90 peak,
right?
I think on Trade Ogre Exchange. But now it's about 43 cents right now, 42.
Wow. So if you bought at $16, you lost literally like 99% of your wealth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's I was going to say it's a very young crypto compared
right?
to.
And what that was.
It only started in 2018.
Yeah. The right. Wasn't there essentially kind of a pre-mine, right? Or an opportunity for those early.
No, it wasn't. I mean, it was actually publicly announced.
But it was super, were, super short.
But it was very. Well, I was going to say there weren't many people following it. Nobody was following it at that time. So everyone that followed it, I mean, there was basically a free or an open opportunity for anyone to mine it or buy it back then. But the masses didn't really get into after we put our report on it out. And right. And also another thing too is that the emission of the coin, they're more of like an accelerationist type of people, or I guess strategy is they want to just run to market. Monero is much more methodical and peer-reviewed and I guess more careful and cautious in its I guess testing and implementation. Parachain was more like, hey, you know, we have Zcash, let's just make it private by default for everybody and then launch it, you know. So that's kind of, they kind of with a fully shielded pool. So they're basically, they have the best privacy, I guess, with the highest anonymity set of 4 million or so right now. Because it's like they mix with all transactions. So it's instead of having like a ring size of 16 where there's 16 decoy transactions, or I guess 15 decoys and one real one out of the ring size of 16, with Parachain, it's basically like a ring size of 1.4 million. So it is a
right
lot
on a useless chain that nobody uses. Transacting.
Well, I mean, there's some people using it. I mean, there's people getting paid in it. There's people.
You're completely conflating and ring signatures is an aspect of Monero.
Like, well, yeah, so, I'm not trying to bash Monero. I love Monero. Monero is still my biggest holding.
I'm just surprised because you've been in crypto for so long.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Well, I have. Yeah, but I see a value. I see value in both. I think there's going to be competition.
You're losing credibility in my eyes. Come on.
Well, no. There's competition between us. I'm all about the free market competition. I stay objective. I mean, Monero is my favorite. And I think Monero eventually will get, like, people. I mean, we've been talking about if Monero gets ZK snarks, then Monero will be the best. That would be the absolute best. And I think it still is the market leader and it has the most adoption. So, in some ways, it's almost like looking, okay, so Monero, everyone's like, oh, Bitcoin's the best because it has like the most adoption, liquidity, et cetera. Okay, but in some, if you kind of look at it like as a microcosm, like it's almost like Parachain is like the next lower one, but it's so small and undiscovered that everyone thinks, oh, it's just a scam. So, in a similar way that people are saying, oh, Monero is like a scam to those who like Bitcoin. So it's just
the analogy is not really there, right? Because you went from Bitcoin, which is completely traceable, to a fungible currency.
Absolutely.
So now you're going from a fungible currency to one that claims to be more fungible.
Or private or more private. Yeah.
So there's no.
Well, and the thing is,
it's like going from, I don't know, it's like we went from horse to car, right? Mm-hmm. And now you're saying, well, there's this, you know, slightly better new car.
Well, it's right? Less like, tested too. So yeah, I mean,
like the network effect for people to move over from a new thing that's not doing anything novel, right? It's we've invented fungible digital cash. So like, you risk moving over to another tool that potentially number one doesn't even do it as well as the first? Like, there's no reason.
Well, actually, there is some debate on that. So, okay, so with Monero,
the analogy of going from Bitcoin.
I use Monero and I use
right. But the analogy from going from Bitcoin to Monero doesn't match. You know, it's not analogous from wanting to go from Monero to something else. I'm not seeing the analogy there.
Yeah. So okay. So I just want to say something real quick. So okay. So with Monero, you know that obviously there's a 10 block wait time where you have to wait for your change to come back to you, unless you're breaking your transactions into smaller amounts and doing churning to get the spendable amount to a smaller level. So if you send small, if you churn small amounts back to yourself in Monero, then it's easier to spend. And if you do this on a regular basis, randomly, then you're able to break your payments. I guess you don't have to usually wait as long for that change to come back to you. But with Parachain, you actually, it's literally.
Yeah, that's completely. I use Monero every day. I use Monero every day.
I use both. So I use 20 minutes. Well, that all happens if you have an empty wallet and then you receive a large amount and then you got to do a lot of quick payouts, quickly paying multiple people.
So it's like saying, yeah, to go to like, hey, we got this new thing that eliminates a thing that's not a problem, and now you're going to move over from the network. Like, it makes no sense. Like, it's just, it's a distraction. You know,
I'm just saying, but like, Parachain is faster and it's more private. Right. So that, I mean, that's just a matter of perspective. So I'm not trying to say,
yeah, it's kind of like the Litecoin.
Everybody should sell their, like, their Monero and buy Parachain. Absolutely not. I have both, yeah. But I'm just saying, I think it's good to like expand your kind of, or just be diversified, I guess. And it kind of depends. Are you a pluralist? Like, do you believe there can be multiple coins that will continue to compete? Or do you think one coin will just absolutely kill the others, and there'll be no chance for others to rise and fall?
Well, so how about you?
I mean, I personally think Parachain still has a large chance to build a pump from where it is. Anyway, we try to make our subscribers money at the crypto. Right. So we have been successful in making a lot of bullish calls. I mean, we were telling people to buy Monero when it was $30, or $20, $30 in the last crash. And then since then, uh-huh, it's got $158. So as of today,
but, yeah.
And then Parachain, like I said, we called it at 5 cents. It went to over $16. So, and of course, it's as markets rise and fall through the cycles, I think right now it's a good 43 cents, 42, 42 cents is a good level buying Parachain. We don't have to talk about Pirate anymore if you don't want to. That's fine.
Yeah. No, I'm just, you know, the people that bought Parachain at $16, $15, even $10, even $5.
Well, yeah, that was a parabolic rise. Yeah. We weren't telling people to buy there.
Yeah, because those early holders of Pirate that had the advantage because of the quick emission of the curve dumped on the market. So it's, you know, that's, and now they, you know, they could acquire again at very cheap prices and do the same thing again and pump it up and dump.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, so, that's the same thing that happened with, I mean, Monero.
So yeah, it's great if you want to
go 3.5. I mean, if you're talking in Bitcoin terms, Monero had a significant life cycle. It went up to 0.35. Over 0.035 Bitcoin. So I think it's going to break those highs eventually. Now it's still less than 0.01, but it's only a matter of time as people begin to see and realize that their Bitcoin and these other surveillance coins are all being traced, and they need to take responsibility for their privacy.
Any chance you participate in Monerotopia? Not that we would necessarily know who you are.
I mean, I think Raphael and Jeff are going to be I think they'll be in there in person. So I think they're going to be the best
they'll be there
to give talks. Yeah. Yeah, so, I'll be talking to Raphael in the back end. Sorry. What's up? Oh, like giving talk to me?
No, will you just be there? Like, potentially, will you be at
physically there? No, I won't be able to physically make it, but I'll definitely be watching videos or live streams as much as I can if possible.
All right.
You wanna?
Yeah, let's close it out because we're gonna the audio.
We're gonna like close that. It out. But all yeah, right. Well, you're always welcome to come on, Mr. X. I think it was good to have a little bit of the pirate discussion anyway, given the recent. I don't know. Somebody put out a tweet from our account that made it look like we are fully endorsing Parachain. Anybody who just listened to our 10-minute conversation we have understand my take on it. But like I said, they will be participating, so that's cool. At Monerotopia, they'll have a table and whatnot. But yeah, we could pick up this convo another day. Thanks for jumping on.
Thank you for jumping on last minute. Really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for the invitation.
Of course.
No, thank you. Yeah, I guess with that, just because the audio is kind of choppy, it's lagging. I guess we should just close it out.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay, let's do that. Thank you, guys.
All right, cheers, everyone.
Hopefully this episode wasn't too terrible for you guys, but
I think it's fine. We just had that little 10 minutes of silence,
which will be cut off in the
Mr. X, man. Is there anything you want to throw out there before we close it down? Just so, because you have the stage.
You can follow us at the Crypto Vigilante is cryptovigilante.io website, and. Yep, we have our YouTube channel is a Crypto Vigilante as well. So and our Twitter is Vigilante Crypto. Unfortunately, the other one was taken. You can follow us there and get to our website and check out our stuff.
Very cool. And I think you guys will be helping us spread the word on the virtual conference.
Yeah.
With you guys on it.
All right.
All right. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for.
And thank you for those that.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. X.
All righty. And thanks to all those that suffered through this podcast. In the sense of the audio. It wasn't. No, it was. I'm talking about
the audio.
The audio and the visual. I'm so sorry, but
no, we work our best. Great takes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let's go jump in the ocean.
All right. All right, guys. Thank you, guys. See you this week. Cheers. Adios. Thank you, Mr. X, again. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, Mr. X. Sorry Adios. About the poor quality.
I know. Thank you for joining us on this week's Monerotopia episode. We stream live shows every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. You can find and subscribe to our show on YouTube and Odyssey, or listen to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter or join us in the Monerotopia Telegram group. See you all next week.